Here wants to show you ESPN 630, presented by Flight by Yingling. Raise the bar with the next generation of light beer. All right, here we go. Heading into the divisional weekend of the NFL playoffs. I think we got four very good games this weekend. There doesn't feel like that there's any mismatches at all. The only one that I feel really confident about in the outcome is I think Green Bay is going to win tomorrow night. But we'll go, let's go in order. And let's start with Saturday, 4:30 kickoff tomorrow, Bengals at Titans. Titans have gone out of their way to try to change transfer rules of tickets to try to keep people in orange out of their stadium. It is only a four-hour drive. The Bengals are also riding the meth high of winning their first playoff game in 30-some years. They've got the better quarterback, or at least the higher-end quarterback. Titans are getting King Henry back. I don't know exactly what that means. Does that mean he's running the ball 25 times or not? Guess we'll have to find out tomorrow, right?
I'll say this. Diana Rossini's been on ESPN Radio for the past 2 days, and she's pretty much alluding to that there's going to be no restrictions. That was all her saying if he gets activated, because of course he wasn't officially activated until like an hour ago, but she was basically saying that he was, you know, in practice. They were making him hit some contact with some guys too, and I think they're going to lean on him. They're going to lean on him the whole step of the way for tomorrow.
For Vegas, often I like to look at the line just as a guidepost of how they think things are going to go. Mm-hmm. And they've put Tennessee as 3.5-point favorites, which is basically a little bit better than home field advantage.
Sure.
Just a touch, right? So they're calling a close game here. And I got to say, of the four, I think this is the most unpredictable game. I don't know about unpredictable outcome, because I don't think you can easily just take a stand and predict Bills or Chiefs or Bucks or Rams, but I think you could have a pretty good guess of flow of game and how it may go. This one, I'm not sure. Do the Titans run the ball down their throat and run a lot of clock and keep Burrow off the field, and then they get frustrated and make a couple mistakes, whatever, and then they kind of win going away in what is probably a sloppy time of possession game? I don't know. Do the Bengals somehow get into a situation where they've got a shootout going with them?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. The Titans seemingly are in all types of games. There kind of is no formula to them, except now that Henry's back. You would think that you're going to get a semblance of what they're going to try to do best here. And I don't know that Cincinnati is good enough up the middle to stop that kind of run game if he truly is healthy enough. That said, Burrow's got it. Like, he clearly does. They are peaking right now, and I don't put anything past them winning this game. It would not surprise me. They are far more the more explosive team out there. So I don't think they're going to win. I think it's the first go-around. Titans have been there. I like Vrabel's coaching better than I like Zach Taylor's.
Yep.
So I'm going to pick Tennessee, but like I'll say about the other, outside of the Packers one where I'll take a stand, I don't feel confident in either one of them. I'm just, for the sake of making a pick, I'm going to go with the home team here, team who's been in the playoffs before, has been close before. I think they figure out a way. In a game that probably ends up a little lower scoring than people might expect, only because I guess the Titans are going to lean on their run game and they'll probably chew up a bunch of clock. So give me the Titans like 22-17, something like that.
This game is going to run through Cincinnati's offense. And what I mean by that is Tennessee doesn't really blitz much. If you look at their blitz stats, they're not the bottom of the league, but their bottom tier of the league in blitzing. So clearly their front four can get it done. That means they're going to be able to drop everyone in coverage, do your typical two safety coverage. But if Cincinnati can somehow just slow the front four and it forces Vrabel to send a few guys to blitz, watch out. That's where Cincinnati's offense is going to open up. And so it'll be an interesting to me first two quarters of the game. And then if Cincinnati can somehow slow down that pass rush of Tennessee and start putting points on the board and then force Tennessee to start passing the ball and not rely on the run game, that's where things get dicey, and I like the Bengals. It's a huge if, though, and you named my number one concern going into this game. Mike Vrabel is greater than Zach Taylor as a coach. And there's something about Tennessee where they're kind of like the Packers this year. They have blown out people, but when they're not blowing out people, they're just winning. And it doesn't matter how they're doing it. It's either on the ground or, you know, not dinking and dunking, but getting enough done in the passing game. I'm with you. If I have to make a pick here, I'm leaning Tennessee, but I like Cincinnati's makeup because they can literally flip the score on you in two plays just the way that their passing game goes. I just give the edge here to Tennessee and the coaching staff. They've also been off. Henry's going to be fresh. I'm leaning towards Tennessee because of all the arrows, but I also know I'm looking at Cincinnati cautiously because they're just so explosive. Give me Tennessee here, but I'm not confident in it, and I just really like the Bengals. Their moxie right now is really, really hot. All the arrows point to Tennessee winning this one. I agree with you, but I really want to. Basically, if you can't tell, I want to pick Cincinnati really bad, but I just can't do it. I can't do it right now.
I can't either. I've seen this too many times. They're like, they're here to stay. That's not a joke. Cincinnati's here to stay. They're going to be a problem, for a while now, just with the construct of their team.
Yep.
They're going to be a problem.
Yep.
But this happens all the time. This is a first go for them. The thing I loved most that Burrow said last week was, we're not treating this like we won the division. This is what we expect now. And so they're not sitting there going, see, we won a playoff game. We're all good. The pressure's off. I appreciate that about him. Zach Taylor went to a bar, apparently got carded, and took the game ball to the bar gave it to the fans. So, they're on a meth ride right now. They're having a good time, and I'm happy for them. It's been a long time for them, and I'm happy for them. And on some level, I didn't see it as a surprise in the summer, but I know a lot of people probably nationally are not paying close attention to them, saw this as a surprise, so it's turned into a joyride, and, they're in this tough division and everyone's picking Cleveland or Baltimore and nobody's picking them. And so they're on a total joyride, and I get it. It's fun. The other thing too, that I think is going to be underrated, and I firmly expect to happen here. Vrabel, not unlike Belichick, will run crazy diagrammed trick plays. And I bet we see one or two in this game because they've had 2 weeks for this. And the Cincinnati Bengals have not been there. Most of the players have not been there before. They're going to be juiced up, amped up. I bet Tennessee hits them with a trick play or two that becomes devastating type plays in this game and could be the difference. So I'm going Vrabel and the Titans to win. I still don't like them to get to the Super Bowl, even though they're going to host the AFC Championship, because I don't think they're beating either one of them in the other game. But I like them here enough to get by and be in the AFC title game.
I will say this, though. We all remember everyone's first run when it comes to any major sport, when it's like kind of the beginning of something, and there's just always a sense of invincibility that comes along with that. And that paired with Burrow does make them pretty dangerous here. They're going to play with reckless abandon. You always remember those runs. And so I will say that they're going to be playing loose in this one too.
I agree. No one's going to be mad at them if they lose. The pressure is totally off of them.
Yeah.
The Titans are the ones who are, they've been in the playoffs 3-4 years running. They have home field advantage. People are going to freak out on them if they lose this game. They are.
Agreed. Exactly. And that's a dangerous combo. Once again, still going Tennessee, but I love Cincinnati in the matchup though.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's as much of a freak out like Jerry and McCarthy are going through now.
Right.
do think if they lose, Vrabel's going to be answering uncomfortable questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On Monday. Like, really uncomfortable. Like, you had home field advantage here. You played a team first. I know Burrow's good, but come on now. How did you guys not win this game? I think it's going to happen to them.
I will say this. It's the opposite feeling with Vrabel as it is where Joe Judge wore out the last little bit of magic that he had with the franchise. Vrabel has built it up going into this as they haven't had either wide receiver on the field at the same time for basically the whole season. They lost their best offensive player for over half the year. Tannehill is not a franchise quarterback. He's a good, serviceable quarterback, and he got the one seed. So I will say this, I don't think the freakout's actually going to be warranted if they do lose this game. He'll still be their coach. I don't think it'll be a freakout, like you said, like Jerry and McCarthy, but I will say that he's coach of the year, so it's going to be hard-pressed to really even press on him if they do lose this game, so we'll see.
All right, 8:15, 49ers-Packers, aforementioned, this is the one that I actually feel very confident about. The temperatures apparently are going to be -5 or something up there.
Of course so, it is.
Yeah. So if you don't think that makes a difference, you're crazy. Okay. It does, right? It really does, especially for a team from California. Come on. That's going to make a difference. Here's where I've landed on it. I really don't think that Garoppolo will make enough big plays and Rodgers will. And that's why I think when push comes to shove, the Packers are going to ultimately win. Are they going to, you know, I don't see a blowout coming here. I think the 49ers are kind of too well put together. The other thing too is like the 49ers with Shanahan, and this has happened in Atlanta and it's happened now a couple times with them. They crater at the end of games. So even if they have a lead, I would be worried, you know, that like you give that guy the ball back late in the game, it ain't going to be like what Dallas did. They're going to win. So even if they're up by a score late, I wouldn't be confident with them. I think Green Bay's just, they've had a week off. Rodgers is saying and that his toe's better now. He's feeling better. He's just been too good this year. When he is on, I mean, I know all the other stuff off the field's been crazy, but on the field, he's really been locked in. They have a dominant run game. I just don't think the 49ers have enough big play ability to pull this off. For the most part, the big plays have to come from out of the backfield, and I don't think that's a recipe to win here. I don't expect a blowout at all, but I do expect Green Bay to win. Will they cover 5.5? I don't know, but I'm very confident that Green Bay is playing next week to get to the Super Bowl.
I'll double down on what you said. They're going to cover the 5, 5.5, depending on where you're shopping, because I have to look at last week's game. And I know all we did was talk about the Cowboys for 2 days after that game. But it took so many screw-ups for the Cowboys for the 49ers to even be, one, leading that game, and then the Cowboys still had a shot to win that game at the end, right? Go all the way back to week two when the 49ers and Packers played in San Fran. And Shanahan played it perfectly, only left like, what, 29 seconds on the clock for Rodgers, and they still beat them. And so I look at it from this standpoint is that 49ers are a good team, not a great team, and they have great moments with like Deebo Samuel and some of their skill guys, and Trent's great for them, but there's not enough there. They're going to lose this game. The Packers are going to cover this. I'm with you. I don't think it's a blowout, but I could see Green Bay winning this one by 10 points because 49ers are going to have to start throwing it near, you know, the end of the third into the fourth quarter, and the Packers will start teeing off on that because the Packers have a pass rush. So I look at this one staying kind of close into the third quarter, and then when the 49ers have to start throwing it a little bit more, Jimmy G's eventual screw-up is going to happen here, and they end up covering that. I see the Packers winning this sucker by like 7 to 10 points by the end of it, and really it's going to look close for a while, but there's just not going to be enough there for the 49ers. I'm with you. Yeah. Green Bay wins this, and I think they win it pretty handedly.
I mean, down the stretch, I got to give them credit. I mean, they were very good down the stretch. They went 4-1 down the stretch. They beat Cincinnati. They beat the Rams.
Yep.
You know, the Rams, that was in L.A., that last game. Couple of them, you know, whatever.
With quarterback problems, too.
That's right. They beat the Texans, so what? They beat Atlanta. I think we know the score with Atlanta. And they lost to the Titans in that stretch. I just don't see the big plays here. Up there at night in the cold, Garoppolo is, I feel it. It happened last week in Dallas. He made a couple of massive mistakes late in the game. I just don't think they could scheme up enough to overcome Rodgers. And that's why I think they're going to win. I just don't know by how much. I couldn't tell you by how much. It's the only game, though, that I feel pretty confident that I know what the outcome is and Green Bay's going to win.
Yep.
Okay. Sunday, honestly, these two games are toss-ups to me, really. You could sell me on anything tomorrow with both of these games. Rams-Buccaneers. Rams go across the country. 3 o'clock kickoff, so that's weird. Mm-hmm. Middle of the day. Mm-hmm. Look, the Buccaneers looked, you know, playoff ready last week, albeit against probably maybe outside of Pittsburgh, the weakest team in the NFC for sure. I mean, they were the 7 seed, but they were not the right team to be in the playoffs. Like, they qualified and all, but like I think we all knew what the score was coming in. That was the right opponent for them. It's a bad matchup. This is very different. The Buccaneers, how did they do against them? Didn't they play earlier this year? How did they do against them?
They were in L.A., I want to say, and didn't the Rams beat them?
The Rams won.
Yeah.
The Rams won 34-24. That was early in the year before all the injuries had occurred. Okay. Listen, it's hard to bet against Brady, but I think Fournette's playing, right? Is Fournette playing? Because I think that's a big deal.
Give me a sec.
I think that's a big deal if he's playing. I know they got Gio Bernard. I know he's been around forever. I don't like them running the ball at all on LA if Fournette's not in there. And I'm not even sure that I love him running the ball with Fournette.
he did return to practice.
Okay.
Still,
and their linemen are back, too. Their linemen are back, too, right? Supposedly, Wirfs is supposedly playing.
Yep.
I got to feel like I've kind of felt this way for a while about the Buccaneers, that they're not going to get there in the end. And I got a funny feeling it does end this weekend. I could say, listen, I don't have a confidence either way. And the one part that gives me a lot of reservation, if you were to take a stand for the Rams, is I know Stafford only threw the ball 17 times last week, mm-hmm. and people are trying to debate, was it because they were up so big, or was it because McVay didn't want him to make a mistake and get the Cardinals back in the game? And in this case, I got a hard time believing that the Rams are going to be staked out to the type of lead that they had a week ago. So Stafford's going to have to make plays, and are the Buccaneers going to force him into mistakes? And that's the reservation. But right now, in terms of health and trajectory, I like the Rams here. So I'm going to pick LA to pull off what I think is a very modest upset here and knock off Tampa Bay and knock out Brady. And then we start asking, was that the last game Tom Brady ever played?
I'm debating here because I feel like the public's going in on this too. Like, some of the shops now are posting this as 2.5 instead of 3, uh-huh. which tells you the money is pouring in on the Rams. And I hate just going with the public here, and I know you're picking them, but something smells about that. Brady's at home. I know that they're injured, but I just feel like there's going to be another gear to this one. I want to pick the Rams because the star power and the guys they have on defense should be able to pick anybody apart, including Brady, but I'm going to reluctantly take the Bucs here, and that they take care of the Rams, and that it's home cooking, and that Fournette does play in this one, and that that does make a little bit of a difference, and they try to bleed the clock out a little bit. And I'm just going with Brady here. Like, when in doubt, lean towards Brady. I'm going to do it here. I want to pick the Rams, but I'm so tentative that enough money's coming in on there that they're starting to flip the line the other way. And sometimes you just got to go against the public, and that's what I'm doing here. This is not as much of a football decision as it is I'm going against everyone else against the grain on this.
I honestly don't have a strong feeling about the outcome of either one of these games, because I think that they are, like, any of these four teams could be in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Like, any of them.
Agree.
So that's why I don't really feel that strongly about either one of them, but I think there's enough star power. I think they're all enough on the same page. I think they're healthier. And if Tampa Bay's offensive line is marginalized, I think they're in big trouble this
weekend. I agree.
Like, if Fournette can't really run the ball, and let's say Wirfs plays, but he comes out, mm-hmm. I'm not going to like Von Miller lining up against a backup tackle against a quarterback who can't move.
Sure.
Like, I'm not going to like that. Like, I'm not going to like their interior line in general against, I don't like anybody against Aaron Donald at all. You know, I got a funny feeling Raheem Morris is getting a job after this weekend.
I agree with you on that.
You know, so, like, my reservation is Stafford makes mistakes, but I don't know that the Buccaneers score a lot of points this weekend, because I don't like, with their injuries and their lack of skill position players because of what AB did, because Fournette's beat up, because Godwin's out, Ramsey's going to be on Evans. I don't know. I just think it's lining up for the Rams to pull this off, short of Stafford making a couple of ghastly interceptions that turns a game over. So I'm tentatively picking the Rams here in probably a very close game.
Two-parter on that one. Both of these defenses are going to be great against the opposing offenses.
And I think I
have more faith in Brady bouncing back and not falling apart than I do with Stafford, because we've seen Stafford have his Wentz moments too, where he throws pick sixes all over the place. Yeah,
that's the only thing holding me back here, is that I could see Stafford blowing this. Like, outside of that, if it was a more steady hand who had done this too many times, I think I'd love the Rams here. But I don't know what I don't know about him, and the fact that he only threw the ball as little as he did last week kind of tells me McVay's scared of him a little bit. So I don't know. I don't know.
I the other one that I feel like I've got to mention here, I think the Rams are getting a little too much credit for the Cardinals throwing up all over themselves on Monday.
Yeah, maybe.
I just think, and I get it. That hype comes with a playoff win, period. I'm not going to knock them for winning a game like that. But my God, did the Cardinals fall apart in that game. The Cardinals defense sneakily actually settled that game down too, but the offense blew up and threw up all over themselves, and Kyler had the awful pick six. But that defense actually stopped the Rams offense for like three or four straight drives without getting any points to really prevent it from getting out of hand. I got a sneaky feeling here that I'm leaning towards Brady, and I can't give the Rams all the credit in the world. And you know what? I'm with you though. They win, they're probably in the Super Bowl, or they could be in the Super Bowl, but I think either one of them could.
I think either one of them obviously could. I just think the problem is one of those teams going up to Green Bay, and good luck with that. You know, like if it's going to be negative 10 or something. I know Tampa Bay pulled it off last year. I think they're too beat up to actually win in Green Bay this time. I think the Rams have a shot at the Packers. I think Tampa Bay, as they stand right now on the road, doesn't actually. Like that's, yeah. They're the ones. I think the Rams are way more dangerous to Green Bay than Tampa Bay is right now. You know, we'll see what it looks like next week if it gets there. All right, last one. This is Super Bowl one of two this year to me. did the Chiefs turn their season around. I mean, big time turn their season around. They look, when they came here earlier in the season and Mahomes was doing crazy stuff week in, week out, and had a million interceptions and a bunch of them were his fault, you know, and their defense looked god awful. It just kind of added up to my feeling about them in the summer. They're still really good, and they're still going to be hard to beat, but they ain't getting there again because they're too flawed now. Boy, did they turn it around, and the last month, Death Star's operational with them again. And if they're going to do those type of things, there are very, very, very few teams that can beat them. They're a slot machine. At any given time, on any given play, Mahomes does things that no one else does, with one exception, Josh Allen. So I think we're in for a classic this weekend. The Chiefs are running really, really, really well right now. They're different than when they faced the Bills the first time. I think this is a high scoring game. I know the Chiefs defense has played a lot better in recent weeks. I still don't think they're very good personnel wise. So I think the Bills will be able to move the ball effectively against them. I think we're going to have a classic game that I wish was the AFC Championship and not this round. This feels very Caps Penguins. It was never in the right round. This should be to go to the Super Bowl. It shouldn't be now. But I'm going to pick the Bills because I picked them from the summer to go to the Super Bowl. So I'm not going to get off of it now.
Yep.
This is a hell of a test for them. And I'll tell you what, you want to talk about on a high. If they beat New England and Kansas City back-to-back weeks in the playoffs, oh my God, those people, they're staring down their golden knights in the AFC Championship. They're going to stomp either one of those teams if they actually get to them. So we'll see. You know, I think whoever wins this game's in the Super Bowl. That's what I think.
I didn't want to give it away when we were teasing these games. This is my easiest pick on the board. I think the Bills stomp the Chiefs out.
I don't think it's going to be a blowout.
That's fine.
I think the Chiefs are too good offensively again to get blown out. So I don't think that's going to happen.
I see what you're saying, but I look at what Buffalo did last week and that they just absolutely manhandled the Patriots, picked them apart from every angle, no major injuries coming out of that one. And then I'm going to look at what happened with the Chiefs against the Steelers. The Steelers had no business being in that game for two quarters. None whatsoever. And I just got this feeling that Buffalo remembers last year's playoff game where they almost came back down in Kansas City. I've got a funny feeling about this one that the Bills are going to be the Super Bowl favorite from this week on because they're going to curb stomp the Kansas City Chiefs in this one. I'm going full blown Buffalo wins this one. I'm saying if you're betting, you find a teaser somewhere, tease that sucker up. I'm going all in on Buffalo, jumping through tables on Sunday night on this one.
Yeah, I like Buffalo. They've been my pick all along. I think it's their year. You know, they had their come to Jesus moment in the middle of the season when they had that weird game with the Patriots and they ended up turning it around. And here they are. And this is their chance to, you know, basically announce themselves. Because, I mean, as much as I think for them personally and regionally, beating the Patriots, what they did was a really, really, really big deal. This one is we're the best team in the NFL weekend. You knock them off in Kansas City, you're announcing yourself as the best team in the NFL. So let's see how they do. And I'm picking them too, because I've said this from the get-go. There's one thing I don't like about them. I don't think they have a great run game, but they have, I would hope, a solid enough one that if they do get a lead, they can try to run a little bit of clock on Kansas City. I just expect this to be a high-scoring game. I don't see a scenario by which either one blows the other one out. I just think that quarterbacks are too good. These teams have been in the playoffs too many times. I just think it's Buffalo's year, so, and I'm just going with my gut. I don't have a real feeling about it. I'm just going with my gut that Buffalo wins.
I'm also going to say this, as I say every single year in the playoffs, and maybe it makes a difference in this one. Buffalo fans travel anywhere. And so I'm going to go with this too. Maybe a little bit of the wind of the sails gets taken out of the Kansas City home field. They're still going to be loud as hell and one of the best home field advantages, but trust me, there's going to be blue in that crowd as well, and that might make a dent into what's usually an easier day for the Kansas City defense. Watch out for all the Zubaz in the stands on that one, too. I've got a funny feeling Buffalo might just take it to them in this one.
Oh, this is a here-we-go, Jim, game.
Oh, 100%. Kick. 100%.
Here we go, Jim. This is a full-on here-we-go game.
Yes.
Romo's going to be pumped for this one.
I love Romo.
Which one is Aikman at that he's going to complain about? Aikman is at 49ers-Packers. I wonder if he will openly complain that he's not at Bills-Chiefs.
Is he going to do that one? Because wouldn't Rams-Tampa be another Fox game, too?
Nope. Rams-Tampa's NBC.
Oh, okay. All right. Never mind then. Yeah, he's going
to
be
It's the
Green
only
Bay.
One you're allowed to do, Troy. Someone needs to remind you. It's the only one you're allowed
sure,
to do.
Sure, he's all thrilled right. to be in Wisconsin.
So I'm going to go Titans. I don't know what the score is going to be in that game. I got no idea. I'm going to go Packers by a touchdown. I'm going to go Rams to knock off Buccaneers and give me the Bills in a classic against the Chiefs.
I'll flip one of mine because I was leaning them anyways. I'll go Cincinnati to take off Tennessee. I'll agree with you on Green Bay. That one's not going to be close by the end of it by 7 to 10 points. I'll go Tampa Bay beating the Rams, and then I will go Buffalo and even add in it's 1.5 points or 2 points, depending where you get your shopping done. Take that right now, because I think it's going to flip the other way by the time it kicks off.
If Cincinnati wins and Buffalo wins, the AFC Championship's in Buffalo, right? I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, it would.
They got a better record.
Yeah,
they're 11-6.
It'd have to be.
Oh my God,
that's fantastic.
Let me tell you something right now. If that happens, Buffalo's going to beat them by 30.
I would agree with you on that. Yeah,
they're going to kill them. If that ends up happening, they're going to kill them.
That fan interaction might be all-time great, because would be Bills fans kind of doing the, like, we're sorry, we have to take you out on the way
here. We have to take you out.
But, like, please have a good flight home. And
yes.
Bengals fans would be like, it's you guys. You know, what are we going to do? What are we going to do in this one?
Take some shots, jump through a table, have some fun with us.
Yeah.
Sorry we're going to kill you, but we are going to kill you.
That'd be a fun, everyone have a handshake before the game starts and then share a beer afterwards, because that's a good time right there. Hopefully that happens.
Speaking of Troy Aikman, boy, he's just continued down his surly path. We'll get into that next. Brave Boys, the show, ESPN 630, Sports Capital. Brave Boys, the show on ESPN 630, presented by Flight by Yingling, raised the bar with the next generation of light beer. Ian Rappaport reports that the Giants are expected to interview both of the Bills coordinators, Brian Daboll and Leslie Frazier, in Buffalo this weekend. The new GM of the Giants is the Buffalo assistant GM. So as Rappaport puts it, that makes sense. So, boy, it's going to be interesting if Daboll gets the job, because does that mean that they're going to try to turn Daniel Jones into Josh Allen, or does that mean that they are eyeing something else at quarterback?
Right.
I don't know. They're bringing Trubisky to New York.
I mean, that's an option.
They've worked with him all year.
No,
if they don't, if the GM and the coach come from there and they don't bring him there, I'd be like, I don't want Trubisky. immediately, I don't want him if that's the case. Like, do not.
No, you're right. That's a red flag if they're not at least trying to get him to come aboard. I'm actually like, it just tells you how quickly things can change. How about Buffalo now being like the source of everybody's, you know, solutions?
Crazy.
Right?
I'm telling you. Two
years ago, we left Allen for dead. They were still the Bills. They sucked. And now all of a sudden, their staff and players are getting pilfered from them. It's funny how it works sometimes.
really bad coaching for a long time. Rex Ryan was up there. Everybody yelled about that. They had terrible quarterbacking. J.P. Lossman, all sorts of names that come through there. Did nothing for years and years and years, and it could flip. It could flip. So, you know, Washington Commander, Admiral, Red Hogs, whatever we are, you got to stay optimistic. One of these days, it might just flip. And yeah. We might get some dude from Wyoming who doesn't look very good at first and turns out to be incredible. Like, right. Just... don't know. You don't know.
Right.
Meantime, Troy Aikman is turning into Kwame Brown. He is unbelievable.
I don't know about that.
He's doing interviews from his car, smoking out of a bong away from becoming Kwame Brown, because it's no holds barred with him now.
Right.
He goes after everybody. He doesn't care. He goes on live television during a playoff game and says, "I wish I was at another one." Like, what is that? Here he is on the Cowboys, his latest one on the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. He said this on a visit to a sports radio station down in Dallas. Changing the coach is one thing, but you got to look at how things are run out there at the Star. I talked to people in the building, and from what I hear, there's a lot of dysfunction going on. Then he went on to say
the Cowboys, of course there are.
Yeah. If you don't do anything in the postseason, then really at the end of the day, you're no different than the Jacksonville Jaguars or the New York Jets that didn't get to the playoffs.
Oh, God. Stop it. That is, I mean, look, I don't want to give the Cowboys credit for anything, but stop it, Troy. Oh, my God. Is he salty? They didn't even consider him for, like, any kind of personnel? Is that why? Okay.
Yes.
All right. I think I'm seeing it now.
Yes. Yes. He said 2 years ago he wanted to be thought of like John Elway, or, you know, he wanted to be given that opportunity. I can tell, you can tell by him on air, he's over it. He's watching what's happening here, and he's like, you know, this is terrible. Oh, man. Oh, man. This is the best.
I mean, I love it because it's, you know, it's the Cowboys, but, like, it's getting a little much. Like, come on, man. Is that real? Is that real?
Jerry, by the way, clarifying today,
okay,
went on another hit on a sports radio station Friday morning and said, oh, it's his radio show. He has a Friday appearance. God, he's got a Monday and a Friday appearance. How about that?
Yeah, he's on both stations down there, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. He said, I thought we did a good job of getting to the playoffs. I can't get over what we did in the playoffs. We deserved better than it ending up this way. Uh-oh. Asked about Mike McCarthy, he declined to get into any specifics about the coaching staff when asked multiple times. I won't get into any conversations I've had with anybody relative to anything to do with the staff. And then he said, I've got a lot to think about regarding these coaches. Uh-oh.
Well,
It's turning. The public pressure, because everyone's going, you guys choked bad. He knows it. He said it right after the game. He knew it, and he was right. He was totally right. And there's Aikman screaming. Oh, Aikman's leaning in because he's like, maybe this time they'll listen to me, and maybe this time they'll bring me into the organization, and maybe this time they'll let me help pick the next head coach. Oh, this is coordinated now. I mean, that was hard. Aikman called them the Jaguars. And said, I hear you guys are all messed up in that building, which is to blame McCarthy, who Rogers is like, yeah, I know about that guy. All he does is get massages during practice.
That's right.
Oh.
I think if McCarthy isn't fired, we're going to hear about some, like, quality control coaches that get implemented.
Right. And you know what? That never works. This never works. If you're like, he's still the head coach, but he has to listen to this person. How's that ever work? It never works. You need to have the power. Yeah. Oh.
Are you getting to the Amari Cooper stuff too? Do you know about that or do you not know about that?
Oh, where he said he blamed Amari Cooper and Dak and Kellen Moore, right? Didn't he go after Kellen Moore?
Cooper was actually more, we can pat ourselves on the back here. He said he expressed frustration with Cooper and how much money he makes to his production on the field.
Listen, man, we dodged a bullet on that one.
I agree.
They tried to get him. We dodged a bullet on that one. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he's a good player, obviously.
To be fair, it would have been great opposite Terry. So, like, I mean, still combo still probably would have worked. But
right. Well, but, I mean, he's got CeeDee Lamb and Gallup right now. Like,
that's fair. No, you're right. Yeah, no, you're right. Didn't have Gallup a lot of the season, but yeah.
Yeah, he ain't the only guy out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, so... I saw that he said it was he should be taking away basically half the field. They should be rolling coverages there. Was it Aikman the one who said, I can't believe they're not throwing the ball to CeeDee Lamb? He's like getting single coverage.
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
he
yeah.
said that.
Yep.
So they're all going after Boy Wonder Kellen Moore now. Oh, oh, man. Oh, they're eating each other now. What? Oh, my God. They're trying to figure out who's going to get eaten here. Oh, they're shook. They're completely shook. I love it.
I got news for you, Jerry, though. If you don't like Cooper's production and how much he makes, oh, buddy, just wait for a year or two when your buddy Zeke there really starts breaking down because he got the injury excuse this year. But you and I know how that works with star running backs. They fall fast, and we might already be in the middle of the fall right now. So it's funny. He's already coming out against Cooper. Can't wait till you talk about that running back in a couple years, Jerry. So good luck with that.
Mike McCarthy said on Wednesday that addressing the penalties would be the team's biggest focus of the offseason. Jerry Jones was asked about that and apparently was not happy when he was told that. He said, one of the pet peeves I have is we got to work on this offseason. I don't go for that. I've been trying to push that. I want those things recognized and addressed after the first game or after we played the sixth game. I don't want to wait until after we're sitting here with no season left to address the things that we're doing or not doing. You got to adjust or you don't have a job. He said he's operating on his own timeline and refused to give any additional insights. Quote, if I thought changing out men at any level would improve us, I would change it out. The bottom line is I'm very, very frustrated and upset that we have used up some very talented players over the last few years. Ooh, this is one of the, I mean, listen, that was a massive choke. Honestly, you would not be hearing this if they lost to the Rams, the Packers, the Buccaneers, the Chiefs, or the Bills. You would not be hearing this. But because they should have beat the, I know the 49ers are good. Don't at me with that. I know they're good. They're not that good. It wasn't their year. They were on the road. They don't have the number one offense. Dallas was supposed to win last week. And whatever happens after that happens after that.
Right.
But they were supposed to win last week. And they beat themselves. And everyone's been saying this forever. McCarthy, man. I mean, come on. Come on. That was a weird hire. Oh, McCarthy also defended himself. Did you see the one where he said, I know how to win at this level?
Oh, yeah. I know how to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers was your quarterback, buddy. They also, the biggest knock on Rodgers has been that he hasn't gotten enough chances to win a Super Bowl. So I'm not sure you do. Not sure you do know how to win.
Oh,
you and I could fall into one Super Bowl with a guy like Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, this is, I think I could. I think you're right. I'd have no idea what I was doing. I think I could probably get to a Super Bowl.
I think you could show up and probably somehow get there.
I'll go to all the practices. I'll be there. I promise.
Right. But
this is Yellow Jackets. I love it.
Rodgers, Rodgers only made it to one.
Oh, the best part of this is just how much trash talk and the benches and all this crap that they were pulling this year. Oh, bing bong, we're gonna win this game easy. Man. Oh, okay. Have a nice off season.
I told you.
Oh, it's amazing.
I joked about it on Twitter. This division lured them into a false sense of feeling themselves. Uh-huh. Like they just. They blew out Washington twice with the benches. They blew out the Eagles, dropped 50 points on them. Everyone wants to forget about the Cardinals beating them, but it was just a hiccup. No big deal. No big deal. And then the 49ers just killed them off of their mistakes. Just killed them.
Killed them. If it wasn't for that Jimmy G interception or the mess up on the fourth and an inch, that game wasn't close.
For sure. For sure.
It wasn't close. Oh, I love it. I knew it. I knew it when they played them in December. I'm like, wait, you just wait. They're going to completely unravel. Like, they're better than most teams. They're going to completely unravel, beat themselves, and here they are eating each other up. Oh, it's I love it. Oh, my God, it's unbelievable. It's Yellow Jackets. It's unbelievable. Oh, it's the best. I hope they do some really stupid, crazy things. And I think Jerry actually, he's announcing how mad he is, but he hasn't done any, shoot from the hip moves yet. So wisely, he hasn't, like, fire everybody. You know, like he hasn't done that one yet. He hasn't done that one yet. All right. We'll take a quick break. Ray, watch the show. He's being 630 Sports Capital. Mark Stein is reporting that Houston is interested in trading John Wall to the Lakers for Russell Westbrook.
Oh, I knew it. I knew it. They're the only contracts.
It's the only deal that can be done. It's the only deal that can be done.
Oh, my gosh.
And if I'm LeBron, you take a shot on it, honestly.
Yep, you do. You do. And all of a sudden, I become, I buy a John Wall Lakers jersey, probably. Just because
I'd be interested in seeing it.
That's an iconic look. And if they were to win a championship and Wall would get a ring, I'd be so happy for that guy. I think all
Wolf
of DC,
season.
I think all of DC would be rooting for John Wall if that happens. Absolutely.
I was hoping he was going to go to the Knicks because I actually kind of want to see him play in New York. I think they'd love
him. Oh, yeah, so do I. His attitude. His attitude is that city in a nutshell. Absolutely.
Oh, they would love him.
Yeah.
LA, though, I mean, listen, John ain't going to ball hog it with LeBron on the team. He'll play his role. He will. He'll play defense for you, too. The question is, can he stay healthy? I don't know, but he's barely played this year, so I don't know. I would do that if I were them. I would do that.
What do you have to give Houston, though? Because Houston knows that they've got the better asset, or the asset that you want. Because they're like, we've done this Westbrook thing once before. What are you giving us to sweeten the pot?
Why do they want Russ back? Just to get out of Wall?
You can at least market Russ, triple-double machine, and, you know.
I guess.
He's not going to bitch about it either, seemingly.
Yeah, because basketball's not that important to him anymore. So is that.
Yeah.
All right. Earlier today, you tweeted out a hat from the Washington-Denver Super Bowl in the late 1980s.
Yeah, 1988.
And then I responded, because you got me all keyed up, I responded with a tweet of my own pulling out old ticket stubs the 1980s. And I put a Bullets-Bulls game from 1983, which predated when I first grabbed it, I'm like, oh, that must be a Michael Jordan game, and it wasn't. It predated Michael Jordan being there.
Yep.
I pulled out an Orioles-Tigers game because it says Memorial Stadium on it, and it's like typed with that crazy like font from like Atari days, of which somebody pointed out to me, I never noticed this, that Baltimore is incorrectly spelled on the ticket.
Yes, one of the three times.
Happy someone pointed that out. I put up a Washington football off of a Super Bowl championship year. So you see trophies on the ticket against the Giants. That's a Parcells-Gibbs game. And then I posted a Caps-Edmonton ticket, also printed with that old, you know, font from the 80s, like futuristic computer language. Mm-hmm. And it's against Edmonton. And I'm like, it's a Gretzky game. And of course, Ben Raby has to look
knows
it
everything.
Up.
Who knows everything? Yeah.
Looks it up and finds out that the 9-2 win over the Oilers did not include Wayne Gretzky. He didn't play that day.
That's right. That's right. Just wanted to fact check you on that one.
Thanks, man. Thanks. I mean, not that I remember it. It's from 1983 or whatever it was. And considering the Caps won 9-2, it makes sense that Gretzky didn't play that day. So, but still, I don't know. It was just like, look, I got a minute left. I don't typically talk about this stuff. It's my birthday tomorrow. Ben, you didn't have to do that. Okay. I didn't need to be fact checked day before my birthday. You know? It Ben, wasn't that egregious of a mistake, you know?
Ben does have a book on the Capitol, so I feel like that's where he needed to butt in. And it was actually, he did say it was a memorable game, one of the more memorable games early on in their history.
So. He doesn't remember anything about it. Who would remember a game from 1983 that Gretzky didn't play in? Give me a break.
You got to remember the Caps, remember the Caps were so terrible, and scoring 9 goals was probably a really big deal at the time.
Probably. Yeah, probably.
So, anyways.
I don't remember about anything about going to it, but I did. That was back in the day, too, when the tickets cost like $10 to go to those games. Lower level, they were like $10.
Right, exactly.
I remember when I was in high school, my parents bought me a 10-game plan, and we were high up, but you know, it doesn't matter in hockey, in my opinion. Like, high up is a pretty good view of the ice, and it was $10 for a 10-game plan, so it was $100 for 10 games, right? $100 for 10 games, and you got to pick the games.
Oh my God.
So I picked like a Flyers game, a Penguins game, a Gretzky game, a Brett Hull game. It was like, it didn't pick the games you want. It was unbelievable. So me and like two friends, we had 10 game plans. It was $100 and you pick any games you wanted. It was incredible.
Must be nice.
Ted, can we do that again?
Yeah,
Ted,
no, don't think so.
Do that again.
I mean, that goes back to when I was in high school with the Caps. It was actually student rush nights. This was Ovechkin's fourth year. It was 2007. So actually third year. $10 upper level, $25 lower level, came with a free Chipotle burrito, which so
love
if you're in school, it's a pretty good deal.
Let's do that.
Your lower level seats were not like, you know, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th row. We're talking second, third, fourth row. They put the young kids up against the glass. It was fantastic, and those days are long gone.
Real quick, Terps get Illinois tonight. They've lost 5 of 6. Illinois is ranked. Good luck with that. Toronto gets the Wizards. So, all right, go Wiz, go. Uh-huh. And I've had nice, and I'm feeling good vibes lately with them.
Yep.
And you got Caps Ottawa tomorrow. You want to give me a quick little, what do you think tomorrow? Caps Ottawa?
We call these Ottawa-win games. They should beat Ottawa. They should have no problem with them. But I don't know what the blue line is going to look like. I don't know if John Carlson's going to return. Dmitry Orlov has to serve his second game of suspension. Nick Jensen got hurt yesterday. They should still win this game. Ottawa is bad. Chalk it up for a Caps win tomorrow. How about that? I will confidently say they will win tomorrow night's game.
I don't normally talk about this stuff because I don't really love talking about my birthday, but it is my 49th birthday tomorrow, which means I am entering the last year of being remotely considered young. So this is a big year for me.
I'm sure you're
handling
it great.
I need the pandemic to go away. Yeah, because I need to have a few moments. I need to have a few moments this year before I hit the big 5-0. Uh-huh. So pandemic, please go away so we can have a couple of big time Uncle Bram's army trips to make me feel young again for the year. All right, everybody, have a great weekend. Talk to you on Monday. Bray, watch the show. He's been 630 Sports Cap.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.